Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome to Be Honest. I'm your host, D'Angelo Williams. And notice I didn't say welcome to another episode. Unfortunately, this is our last episode of the season. Bringing in your co-host, Jake Seeley. How you feel about that, Jake?
It's awful, but I feel like this is going to be the best episode ever. But we say that every single week.
We say it every week.
You're going to have fun next week, by the way, or actually Sunday. I hope you enjoy the Super Bowl, by the way.
Oh, I'm 100% enjoy it.
We're going to see each other. Maybe we should do a special podcast from WrestleMania.
We probably should.
We should have Gary on too.
Speaking of that, though, did you like the results of the Royal Rumble?
Yes, for the men's. No, for the women's. I did not like. I'm tired.
Well, Charlotte Flair was the only one that could win it, though.
No, you could have had Baszler win.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, they made that call at the end to change it because Bianca was supposed to win at first.
Yeah, I think it would have been a little bit early for her, for everybody out there, that Bianca Belair in NXT. I think Baszler would have made sense, call her to the main roster, have her go against Becky, and then have have Charlotte go against Bayley. Like, if Charlotte announces she's facing Becky, my eyes are just going to roll back. Like, look, Charlotte, generational talent. There you go, something everybody always throws out in football and everything like that. Generational, amazing or whatever, but enough. She's ruining the women's division right now, and not her, it's the writing, but stop squashing the entire division just to keep promoting Charlotte. You can promote Charlotte and she can do it without having to just kill everybody else. It's just annoying at this point.
They don't ever listen to us.
She screwed up her face too much. She keeps doing too much surgery. She looks weird now.
She does. She looked more and more like her father every time I look at her, and I'm like,
which is probably
bro,
what she was
rough.
Trying to avoid.
I guess those genes you just can't fight off.
No,
right?
She's got the injection. She's got the fake upper teeth now, which just look creepy. It's just everything. But
I'm just glad Roman Reigns didn't make it in the men's. Drew McIntyre was definitely.
We're not even talking what we're supposed to be talking. Like, tell me this.
Yeah, no.
Since you're so I'm with you. And you heard the boos when Roman Reigns, he didn't even get to the ring. He got booed on his way out because everybody was the fans expecting him to win. And I just hate that the fan, you know this, you know, I'm not a Reigns mark, but I just hate the people that boo him just because they want to boo him.
Well, I'm one of those, so you hate me. I boo the shit out of him every time I get a chance. I really dislike him. I'm tired of them shoving Roman Reigns down the fans' throat, like, hey, take this, when we don't want him. Like,
see, that's the thing. They haven't for years. It's been two years.
That's all he's been pushing.
No, he's been 2 years, and he's gotten a ton of losses. He hasn't fought in the title in a long-ass time. He's been losing and dealing with this freaking Baron Corbin nonsense. And people still want to hate him. And it's just tiresome at this point. If you wanted to get mad at WWE back in the day, sure, I'm with you. But here's the only thing I'll say about that, because we can get away, because everybody's going to be like, oh my God, they're just talking wrestling. but the only thing I'll say is Reigns wasn't going to win. You bring back Edge, which was the biggest moment of the night, which was just awesome.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do something.
So if you had that and Drew McIntyre was going to win, my whole thing in my head, tell me if you didn't see the same thing playing out, D'Angelo, when both of Edge and Reigns were on outside of the apron, have McIntyre kick them both off.
Why did you have
Reigns eliminate Edge and get booed when you knew that was going to get booed anyway?
I think they like the heel heat that he gets. I'm going to tell you what I thought was the most impressive part of all Royal Rumble, and then we're going
to
move on.
Yeah, because
I know everybody don't want to hear was the fact, the way that they build Brock Lesnar coming in as number one and him eliminating the guys that he eliminated. Because we always complain about Brock Lesnar not giving us good matches. Brock Lesnar's not giving us a lot of TV time. He definitely earned his money at the Royal Rumble. And I loved how they did it as entrance one and him eliminating 13 other contestants. And the way he delivered it, that spectacular performance was something that we need to see every time out of him, because we love to hate Brock Lesnar because he doesn't show up. But then when he does show up, he showed us character. He showed us personality. He showed us something that Brock Lesnar doesn't normally show us. He showed us he could be funny. And we like that about him.
Yeah. No, that was a great way. And as you got to the point of, like you said, it built and built and built, where people were getting so mad that he was devastating everybody and had the ring to himself, that it got madder and madder and madder and madder. So when he finally got eliminated, because then you thought that tease, especially when you had the big boys coming out back to back, you thought, he's done now. And then it was just,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But go ahead. I know we got to get on with the podcast.
We do.
We apologize for talking wrestling, but not really. What we got, Jake?
That's our last show. If you don't want to listen anymore, you don't have to.
Yeah. I figure at this point in time, you fuckers are invested now.
And speaking of invested, there's a tease for you. I have an update for you when we get to that later on. But we're going to do a little history of the show today and look back at some of the things that we said. And kind of like,
No, please, no. Are you really bringing up old stuff?
I mean,
whatever happened to us moving forward in life? Why you always got to bring up old shit?
I'm on this list too. So don't.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't feel bad. I thought it was one sided, but okay. I could deal with this. What we got?
I think the first one is about your initial Super Bowl AFC pick.
I don't remember this one. So I'm changing my picks.
Obviously,
Saints,
because your boy got hurt.
No, it has nothing to do with it. It does have something to do with him being hurt. So just like any marriage, you always have an option for divorce. And I'm calling that, and I'm divorcing the Jaguars because Nick Foles got hurt. I am going to marry as my second wife.
No divorce for me. Ever.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm still dating. Okay.
Did you ever find a new one?
I did. It was the Chiefs. But going back, I'm not sure what week that was, but the Jaguars was a great solid pick because what Nick Foles had done the year before and dethroning and winning the championship, and you know it. Come on, man. We were all sold on Nick Foles, man. He come in, he plays well, and that's all the Jaguars was missing. And he was a key. I thought he was that missing puzzle piece to them winning the championship in Jacksonville. That was me. That was on me. I did the right thing. I divorced it. I wasn't happy. I divorced, and it was too soon for me to just jump out there for myself. It was too soon for me, and I knew it. I saw it early. So I dated around, and, you know, I fell on, you know, I came on with the Chiefs. You can't blame a brother for that.
No, you can't. And look, it's fine. You know, I had to think twice about my picks. And see, that's where we're going to my Super Bowl picks. This is a lot of these are from the same episode. This is back to the second.
Nobody in your Super Bowl picks made it. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no. Not even my second round of Super Bowl. Well, that's because I stuck. Well, here, listen to the clip.
So who's your team moving forward on being in the Super Bowl? I just want to know that.
Oh, I haven't changed. I'm still sticking with my picks. I'm still Saints.
Who's your picks?
In the NFC. Saints in the NFC, and I forget who the NFC was now, because I switched because I didn't want to say. Who did I say? Oh, I said Chiefs. Didn't I?
Yeah, you did say Chiefs.
So I said Patriots. No, I said Patriots because I said you can't pick against the Patriots, but I had the Saints winning. I'm still saying Saints winning because I'm not going to change my pick.
I need you to address that. I need you to address that, Jake.
Well, so when we hit the playoffs, I didn't even. I should have went back to the Chiefs.
When you say we, you mean like what team are you riding with when you say we hit the playoffs?
When we hit the playoffs, like no, you and me, as in when we hit the playoffs our picks at the beginning of the playoffs. I think I even said it on this show. If it wasn't this show, I did it on the All in Sports podcast. But I said that at the beginning of the playoffs, I want to take the Saints to still. I was riding or dying with the Saints. I obviously died on that one.
Oh, you died. You 100%.
On the AFC side, at the beginning of the playoffs, I said I'm going with the Ravens because I love Lamar Jackson. But honestly, my gut's telling me I should pick the Chiefs because the Ravens feel like last year's Chiefs. Like it's a year too early. It's just not.
But you
quite
didn't pick
there
either
yet.
One of those. You went with New England.
No, that was at the beginning of the season. Remember, at the beginning of the playoffs, I didn't take New England. I came off New England at that point. There's no way I was going with Tom Brady with no wide receiver. And that wasn't that one. But hey, look, Drew Brees, you think he comes back next year? You think he does one more go at it?
Oh, 100%. Drew Brees is definitely coming back. I know who's not coming back, and that's Phillip Rivers. It's going to be interesting to see where Phillip ends up at, because he definitely ain't going to end up with Jacksonville, because Jacksonville have their quarterback in Nick Foles. I mean, he definitely doesn't want to go to my— That's not— – I did not say Gardner Minshew. He's a career backup.
Hey, you want to make a bet as of what's today's date? Today, well, for the podcast, is January 29th, 2020. D'Angelo Williams, yes. Jake Seeley. I say right now, Gardner Minshew is week one starter for the Jaguars in 2020.
He is not. I'm going Nick Foles as the week one starter. Here's the question is, who's the week one starter for the Miami Dolphins?
If they're smart, I think they draft Tua, let him sit, and bring back Fitzpatrick for one more season.
Okay, that is smart. I thought you was going to say Phillip Rivers, because I think Phillip Rivers— this is what I think about Phillip Rivers. Granted, he had a Hall of Fame career Yes, he did. His numbers are on par with Eli Manning minus the two Super Bowls. If you're going to put Eli Manning in the Hall,
we're
going to
talk about that. Hold
numbers,
on, hold on. Save that. Save
okay,
that part.
Okay. So with that being said, I would not touch Phillip Rivers, because even though I said Phillip Rivers had a career, like a Hall of Fame career, he also reminds me a lot like Brett Favre, but not the good Brett Favre. He throws the ball and, yeah, not the good Brett Favre.
I'm laughing because we've done too many shows together, because you didn't even say his name and you didn't even add the caveat to it, and both those things went through my head before you even said them, D'Angelo. Was not good Brett Favre.
Yes, that's exactly what it is, and it pains me to say this. Even his throwing motion sometimes and his mannerisms are like Brett Favre, like the not good Brett Favre, though. That's the thing. And I don't think I've ever seen the good Brett Favre in Phillip Rivers. And it's not like he hasn't had the talent around him. And year after year after year after year, like, they never put in question that Phillip Rivers' job was on the line. And I always thought that there was one job that should be easy to take, but politics wouldn't allow it.
Certainly fair. Hey, you know he's better than Brett Favre in one way, though. He's not sending any dick pics, so that's good.
What's funny is a lot of people like the fact that he did that, because they can kind of relate. Like, oh, he's just a guy like I am, you know? Like, that was their— that was their way to bond with him. Like, hey, you know, I can't throw a football, I can't, you know, play sports, or I can't do this, but I damn sure can send a dick pic.
Oh, my God. I don't even— let's just get to the next one. I don't even know where to— this is— hey, this is something where I was definitely wrong about something, and you were definitely right from the jump off. And so let's get to the next one. The Cowboys have very little and very few weaknesses. It's hard to even pick one right now.
Are you serious?
What's their weakness? Okay. What's their weakness?
Okay. Let's make sure we dive back into this conversation, okay?
Make sure we dive 100%. Back into this conversation. 100%.
Because Dak, in my opinion, is not the answer. I'm going panic. I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to go panic. And I'm going panic because of this reason. A lot of people are high on the Cowboys because they beat the New York Giants and they feel as if they're going to the Super Bowl. But just like the Dallas Cowboys team come mid-season to later on in the season, that's when they start dropping those important games, and that's when it's going to happen, because that's what they're used to. I know for a fact, in my mind, I don't think that Dak has taken that next step on being that quarterback that's able to come back and win football games for you. Hey. I'm just— can you say that one more time? I was what?
You were right, but here's the crazy thing.
So great. You don't have to put all that other stuff on it.
No,
right. That's all you have to say.
Hey, I know this is— I just want to ask you a question. This is—
oh, go ahead.
This is the baffling thing to me, and this is why I said—
it didn't
what
baffle
I said
me at
time.
All.
You were 100% right, but you're part of haters, so that clouded a little. Like, I didn't know how much to trust you. Here's the thing.
Wow. Now the truth comes out.
Here's the thing. The plus minus for the Dallas Cowboys, they scored 113 more points than their opponents. Do you know everybody else who scored 100 more points than everybody else won at least 10 games, and five of them won 12? Like, as a football player, D'Angelo, I just want you to explain that to me, because that is still baffling to me that they outscored their opponents by that much and finished 8-8.
So this is what it is. So the Cowboys being America's team, like, they've had that moniker for a very long time. They used to live up to that moniker. Now it's just the moniker super exceeds everything that they have on the team. So what comes with being America's team is the fact that you have this spotlight, whether you want it or not. And you're going to make a name for yourself because you have that jersey on your back. So the Dak Prescott, the Ezekiel Elliott, the some of the players that they have on their team that are average, a lot of times get the moniker of being elite or being the best. And that's what happens when you get in these football games, is you come with this moniker and people, you get their best. And then that culture starts to form, like, okay, when the Dallas Cowboys roll in here with these obnoxious ass fans that we got to deal with, that's what's stoking the fire. So you get everybody's best shot because you, quote unquote, are supposed to be America's team. And now you're getting the best shot of the Miami Dolphins. You're getting the best shot of, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're getting the best shot of the Buffalo Bills. You're getting the best shot of every team that you play. And you necessarily are not giving your best shot because you're not trying to live up to the moniker. You didn't choose to be on this team. They chose you. So you're going to go out and you're going to do the best that you possibly can, not necessarily the best you possibly can for your team. So I'm not saying that it's a culture thing. It's a not living up to the moniker that somebody else worked hard for to get that you're not living up to.
Yeah, hey, you're 100% right. And the other side of it, too, for my own point, I threw that out there, but I also know part of it as well, is that they only beat two teams with a winning record, and that was the Rams at 9-7 and the Eagles at 9-7. Everybody else with a winning record, they lost, including losses the Bears and at the Jets. And so anybody with a heck of a, not even a good team, they struggled against. But all
right,
so,
and I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be the same thing starting out next season. Everybody's gonna talk about the Cowboys having Mike McCarthy and how they made all these offseason changes, and that's what the problem was, and they're gonna step out on the field again. They're gonna win probably the first two or three games, or depending on, you know, what their schedule looks like when the dates drop. And after they win that first game or that second game, you're going to get these obnoxious-ass Cowboy fans talking about, we're going to the ship again. That's what it was. It was our coaches, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they're going to be sitting at home come late December, early January, and then I'll be looking at the Super Bowl just like us. So everybody that's associated with Cowboy Nation, you're doing the same damn thing I'm doing come Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to all get our wings. We're going to get our nachos, popcorn, whatever we prefer on that particular day. We're going to all sit down at our couches, Cowboy players included, and we're going to look at what could have been that didn't happen.
I actually love it because I hate the Cowboys, so I don't have no problem with this. All right, we got another clip from the same episode, four straight clips from the same episode, and this is actually about tanking, which this was an interesting one. I still think is interesting.
This is not the NBA, Jake. One player cannot help your football team go from 0-16 to a playoff team.
The truth is, though, the point being is, if you knew you were getting a generational talent, and that's the assumption that they're making.
What you can't name a generational talent out there, though. Who are you like? Normally, if that was the case, when Lamar was in school, and you would say, "Hey, the Baltimore Ravens is tanking for Lamar." Like, I get it, but you can't tell me who the Miami Dolphins are tanking for. If you could tell me who they're tanking for, then I can say, oh yeah, they're tanking. But because you can't tell me who they're tanking for, they're just a bad football team.
You want to follow up on that?
I still feel the same way. I nothing has changed. I don't think they tanked for anybody. There's no way. There's not a player out there that can help the Miami Dolphins win right now. And if it is, Jake, you please tell me. You enlighten me. I still stand behind Joe Burrow peaking already. So
oh,
if he's
I'm not,
peaked
I'm not
already,
disagreeing with
he's,
that.
If See, he's peaked already, and he's supposed to be the number one pick in the draft, then I mean, where do you go from there? Tua's coming off injury. We're not sure how ready he's gonna be, if he's even gonna be able to play this year. or how well he's going to play. Then you go in there with a rookie quarterback that has to make decisions on the fly. So obviously you're not going to win many games this year. So, I mean, where do you go?
See, but that's the thing is I still believe in it, but I don't. What I think the misconception is.
You believe teams tank?
No. I believe they want to, but I agree with what I actually referenced that. Credit to D'Angelo Williams. Look, here, I'm doing it for you. I reference that podcast to my friends a lot because I say something you said on that podcast, which wasn't part of the clip for everybody that wants to go listen to it again, second week of September. The tanking thing in sports is, yes, the front office could want it, and I'm paraphrasing you, D'Angelo. The yeah. front office could want it. The GM could want it. They could even get on the same page as the coaches to want it. The problem is you can't get to the players because the players are playing for their contracts and for their futures, yep. and you just can't get everybody on the same page. So tanking is essentially impossible. But yes. I know they would like to, and I know that you see some of the play calls, and you're like, ooh, did they really do that? Is there maybe something behind it? Because it's not a one-year fix. Like, the Cardinals have yeah. hope because they got Kyler Murray. The Bills went from great defense and nothing else to being a playoff contender, despite the fact that Josh Allen, too many turnovers still, but they might say, hey, we're kind of glad we got where we were. You could look at the Redskins at the end of the season saying, look, Dwayne Haskins was finally starting to see what we could want. We have a future now. So it's not, I agree with you. It's not the fact that, like, I don't think there's one solution and one player. You're drafting one. You give the Bengals Lamar Jackson, they're still not going to be a playoff contender next year, but you're starting the process with one significant possible franchise player for the year after that.
Yeah. I hate that basketball even brought the term tanking into the conversation because
well, that's because that's feasible.
It's feasible in basketball, but when people right. try to relate it to sports that revolves around more than 5 or 8 people on the field at one time or a court or playing surface at one time, that's very, very tough because, you know, in football or in baseball, that one player cannot change, you know, the scope of your team. But if you put them on a basketball team, like if you get a young NBA player like LeBron or Michael Jordan and you put them on one of these teams right now, that's generational talent. And when you come in and you change that type of culture as it relates to NBA, you could do that. But in football, there's no damn way you can come in and be like, hey, you know, we're tanking for Joe Burrow. Well, if we tank this year, shit, we know for a fact that we're not going to be good in the next 2 years because there's a learning curve for quarterbacks that come in this league. And right. the reason why there's a learning curve is because every defensive coordinator know how to scheme against a rookie quarterback. I'm going to send heat, and I'm going to force you to make quick decisions, and you're not good at making quick decisions because you just came from college, and your windows of opportunity as it relates to throwing the ball are not as tight as it is in the NFL. There's an NFL open, and then there's a college open. And college open means that the guy is 2 or 3 steps behind you. In the NFL, you got to throw guys open. And a lot of quarterbacks don't pick that up to 2 or 3 or 4 years into the league. Sometimes later than that.
So glad you said that. That's one of the things I for everybody that out there, they always ask me, and I'm not trying to like say I'm the best scout out there, because I'm not. Heck, I know Emery Hunt that works for us at The Athletic is one of the best I've ever seen in my life. But that, I'm so glad you said that, because one of the things I always tell people when trying to learn that about quarterbacks, but also receivers as well, is like you said, is the quarterback can't wait for the window to be open, because if they wait, the window's going to be gone by the time they throw it. To your point, is they have to throw it to a window that's not even there. But by the way, no, tanking doesn't work in baseball. You know what works in baseball? Cheating and trash cans. That's what works. Ask the Astros. That's what works. That's how what, you win.
See that? I don't have a problem with that right now. We're going to wait. Can we talk about it right now?
Hey, it's the last show. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Oh, true. So this is how I feel about the Astros. So if I didn't know about Pete Rose and how they completely like separated themselves from Pete Rose, I wouldn't feel the way that I feel about the Astros right now. So taking Pete Rose out of this, I'm like, hell yeah, the Astros are the New England Patriots of our time. Worse. They're habitual line steppers, and they're gonna officially change the rules as it relates to the MLB, right? Because right. it was rules in place, but they were like soft rules. So now these rules next year will be hard
as
shit.
Well, this is a whole other way. Like, D'Angelo, this is it's for everybody out there, because I just want to jump in real quick just in case there's only football people that listen to this or don't know exactly what happened with the Astros. I'll draw a real quick comparison for you football-wise. it's worse than the Patriots because it's not just, hey, when they line up, they often run this. We took videotape of it. The Astros were watching video, banging on trash cans. There's still rumors of the fact that they had buzzers on them, so they knew what pitches were coming. For football, this is like me telling you, D'Angelo, this is the defense in front
run
you're
pass.
Facing. Run pass, or defensive-wise, yes. Is it run pass? What's the formation? Is it a deep pass? Is it a short pass? Like, you knew what was coming every single pitch, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. It's just like Spygate with New England. It's exactly the same. They were still in signals, and then based on the formation, they knew where the ball was supposed to go, and that's why they won the game. So it's no different from New England. They didn't snatch that Super Bowl from them. They was like, hey, so what I've gathered as it relates to professional sports, it's okay to cheat as a team. If everybody cheat, they're not going to do anything. But if one person cheat, your ass, we pinning you to the fence, and we finna take you for everything you got. So I'm letting you know right now, guys, if you're out there,
if you're going to cheat, make sure you do it.
If you're out there in the world and you're thinking about cheating, cheat as a damn team and you can get away with it. Because if you cheat by yourself, you screwed, because you're going to go down by yourself.
The views and opinions by D'Angelo Williams do not represent Jay Healy or the Athletic.
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because, you know, I even saw the Pete Rose documentary and stuff. And, like, he bet on the games and stuff like that. He influenced the game. I'm going to say influence because I don't want to say he cheated, because I'm still, like, I see what the Astros did, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cheating. And then I see what Pete Rose did, and I'm like, ah, it sounds like he tried to make some extra money. But but looking at those things and how they banned him and not allowing him in the Hall of Fame and all the other stuff, but then – like, we had a full-blown parade for the Astros. Like, oh, yeah, we knew you was cheating, but, you know, it wasn't cheating at the time. But it's cheating now because we done changed some rules. So it's interesting. I mean, New England did the same thing. And, you know, there's still people in that fan base is like, yo, you know, we're the greatest of the 2000s. And, you know, you could put asterisks beside it, but, you know, we still played in the Super Bowl. We still won it. And that's one thing that I understand about sports. And I really hope that everybody out there that's listening to us right now understand this. In a game like the World Series, in the game like the Super Bowl, in the game like, you know, Game 7, the finals, and I can't say the horse racing because they changed that. In big games like this, once they're over, they're over. There's no, I'm going to pull this game, because there's so much money and betting involved in this game that if we was to come back and say, hey, you know, the Astros cheated, we got to switch everything and go to the other team. Can you imagine the backlash of the casinos and all the stuff that's associated with betting, how they will feel and how they have to give money back and cash people out and all the stuff that's associated that's not associated with the game itself? That's why it was a big thing with the horse racing. You saw the horse racing, right?
Was it the
Preakness where
much.
The
yeah,
horse got something. Disqualified and
so,
like everybody was up in arms?
Would you put an asterisk in the record books?
Oh, 100% I put an asterisk in there. They still won it. Yeah. I would put an Astros in it. You get what I did there? I would put an Astros in it.
Astro is thick.
But it's interesting, though. So if you want to cheat, I'm telling you right now, the only way you'll get away with it is if y'all cheat as a team. New England did it. You know, you see what happened to Brady? When he cheated by himself with the deflated footballs, they relieved him of his duties for 4 games.
Quote, unquote.
Because he cheated by himself.
I think that was partly because of Spygate, too. But, hey, you know.
Yeah, it was. But he cheated by himself. Had it been the team, they would have been like, look, y'all got to stop. You know, we got to check all the pressures in your football.
Hey, offensive lineman, can you sit on these footballs a little bit?
Yeah. We all going to have our hand in this. Damn it, it ain't just going to be Tom Brady.
Super Bowl 54. Who's going to be hoisting the trophy and spraying champagne when it's all said and done? The Chiefs, I think. But in any case, their season will be ending on a winning note, and yours can too. This is your last chance to play fantasy football till next season with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your single game showdown lineup and feel the sweat like never before. It's simple. Just draft 6 players from Super Bowl 54. Stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using code RUN will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a free shot at $1 million payday. Get in on the Super Bowl 54 action. Download the DraftKings app now and enter code RUN during the sign-up. For a limited time, new users will get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit. That's code RUN and a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Can we talk about another quarterback now?
Who we got?
Let's talk some Eli Manning and Daniel Jones.
Well, you said quarterbacks. That's not a quarterback. We let's talk about somebody else.
Like no, we're going to talk about him. I'm interested. I forget what this clip is. This is from September 18th. I'm actually really curious what this one is. I'll just put it out there. You know how I feel about this. Is I'm conflicted because on the one side, I want it to fail because I want Dave Gettleman to fail. But I want to root for the player because I don't want Daniel Jones, the player, to fail. So I'm very conflicted because I want Gettleman gone. And Gettleman's not going to be gone if Daniel Jones ends up being great. That's my conflicted part.
Even if he's great behind that offensive line, he's not going to get far. That's what the problem and the issue is. It has nothing to do necessarily with Eli. Granted, his best days and best years are behind him. But sticking a rookie quarterback in behind that offensive line, okay, these are the issues you run into having a rookie quarterback. One, he's not going to know all the checks and know what it is that he's supposed to do. And two, when you're a rookie quarterback, you don't know where to go, when to go, and how to go at certain situations. The thing you do is you tuck the ball and you run.
Yeah, see, that's, you know, I still haven't changed how I feel about that. And Daniel Jones, you know how many times have I said it, D'Angelo? Daniel Jones is just Jameis Winston. 12 interceptions, 6 fumbles, 24 touchdowns. So 24 touchdowns, 18 turnovers. Enjoy it, Giants fans. You got yourself a Jameis Winston for the next 5 years.
Oh, yes, you do. And not only do you have yourself a Jameis Winston, but you also have yourself a GM that don't give a damn about what you think nor the players think. He's going to make decisions based on the decisions that he want to make and not what's best for the team. So congratulations. You'll be the New York Giants. The football aspect is going to leave real soon, trust me. But with that being said, Eli Manning does have a Hall of Fame career.
Okay, well, you go first because I do have my thoughts as well. So you go first on Eli Manning.
Yeah, he did have a Hall of Fame career. Him and Phillip Rivers both will be in the Hall because of the sheer numbers that they have. And this is why it's funny because there's no certain criteria you have to have to get into the Hall, right? So you look back and you say Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback of all time to never win a Super Bowl. Or never play in one. He never played in one, right? And his numbers were so astronomical that, you know, you couldn't deny him. But if you look at Dan Marino numbers, they're not that far off from Phillip Rivers. They're not that far off from
Eli Manning. But he was doing it at a time when nobody could do it.
Right. That was the time. So because you don't have the criteria to get in, you can't tell me, hey, Dan Marino was good enough to get in. Granted, regardless of the time period or how many times or how many years it took him to get there versus Eli Manning doing the same thing with 2 Super Bowls. Those 2 Super Bowl wins are Hall of Fame criteria all in itself. So he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He didn't always play like a Hall of Famer, but again, you can't help who you work with. That defense that they had over there was the same defense, in my opinion, that very mirrored Trent Dilfer. But Trent Dilfer's not a Hall of Famer. The year that, you know, they made the big catch and all that they wanted at 9-7 again was that defense coming off, blowing guys off, and just Eli Manning not making mistakes and making one play, and that's all it took for them to win that football game. So again, he showed up at the significant times and he performed, and that's why I think he's a Hall of Famer. There's other quarterbacks that are in the Hall right now that I've scratched my head like, how the hell did they get in? But again, there's no criteria to get you in. There's one quarterback in particular that I'd love to see in the Hall, but I don't think he'll ever make it.
All right. Who's that?
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick. He'll never get in just because people still don't want to forgive him for that situation, despite having a foundation to help for that, like turning things around real quick. But before I get to Eli Manning, come on, dude, Dan Marino lost to your 49ers in the Super Bowl. Like, at least, come on, D'Angelo. You got to.
But he didn't play because we blew them out in the Super Bowl. It wasn't even close.
Okay, so that's how you're going to overcome it? That's how you're going to backtrack? He didn't even play because he got blown out? Okay. All right. So for Eli Manning, when this happened, I actually tweeted this out. I said, is he the most divisive potential Hall of Famer of all time? And I think it's just because people have very strong opinions one way or the other. And then I put out a poll, D'Angelo, and that was what I found out is that the poll results were about 40-something percent said he should just be in. And then the other answers were he should not be in. He shouldn't be in, but you're going to be okay if he does. And he shouldn't be in, and you're going to be upset if he does. Well, on the flip side of it, if you combine he should not be in and he should not be in and get upset, it was only about 40% as well. And then you have the rest that are like, I don't really care. So the majority, as you said, like it's 20%. It's like 40-40 are the biggest sides of it. It's like people either really want him in or people really don't want him in. And I think it's because he has a divisive career as well. You see the win-loss records, 500. For everybody out there that says he only had two great seasons, they always default and think it's the Super Bowls. But if you go look at his career, his two best seasons were under McAdoo and not even the Super Bowl season. So I'm with you. It's hard to look at somebody who has top 10 records across, you know, yards, touchdowns, everything like that, never missed a game that he wasn't hurt, won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, and then say he's not a Hall of Famer. I could see why people don't want him there, but I definitely think he is.
Yeah, that's been the tough part for me because you see guys all the time that have the numbers and, you know, you're just like, dude, it just doesn't look natural, right? So there's only one running back that I've ever seen in my life, well, two, that one's a Hall of Famer and the other one isn't. And I always thought, like, yo, he just doesn't look like a good running back. And that's Sean Alexander. Sean Alexander, I thought, never looked like a running back that had swag, if that makes any sense. He just line up and you just go and you're just like, dude, he's just like, just him and his uniform just look ugly. Like something just doesn't look right. Right.
And he came to my church one time and I saw him and I was like, you don't feel like a running back.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And then who I always felt like, and I'm just going to say the team and I'm going to see if you can give me the name. He played for the New York Jets.
Curtis Martin.
Bro, every time I watched him play, I was like, dude, you literally have no swag at all, none. Like, there's nothing that, like, little kids can look at you and be like, oh, I got this from Curtis Martin. You see what I'm saying? Like, you look at running backs today, you know, it's either the towel or, like, we come in and we have something, like, we look like running backs, right? Like, granted, this is my era. And, you know, not his era, but, you know, the Sean Alexander, even when he was at Alabama, like he just had a funky running style. You know, Curtis Martin was the same way. He was hardworking. And you look at his running style and you're just like, it's getting it done. But like, you know, it was like Josh Rosen. You're like, he's a runner, but I don't know. It's just something I don't like about him. And it was that. It had nothing to do with his running style or his demeanor or anything like that. It's just like, you know, even when I was seeing without gloves, I'm like, what? Why does he have gloves on? Like, why does he have his wrist tape? Like, then it was the same thing with Tim Brown when he didn't wear gloves and he would tape his fingers. I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, does they help him make him catch? He had everybody in the world. Right, he had everybody in the world with their knuckles taped, but they didn't know that he had jammed all his fingers and he was doing it to keep the inflammation and the pain down, not to help him catch. So it was people out there taping their fingers to help them catch, and they were still dropping the damn ball. Those two running backs right there for me were the two running backs where I was just like, ooh, if I make it to that level, I'm going to make sure that I have some type of swag, because if you don't have swag in the league, and when I say swag, I'm not talking about, hey, trying to like make it about me. I'm just talking about making it about, I want to watch football because this is entertaining. I want to like not necessarily brand myself, but when you see us, even if we don't play well, you're going to be like, damn, like that was cold. Like, it was never a time where I saw Curtis Martin or I saw Sean Alexander do something and was like, oh, I'm going to try to mimic that. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it was no spin move that they did where I was like, oh, that's, I'd love to do that. Like, it was nothing, like, nothing was sexy about how they ran. It was just tough, hard. I guess that's when, back in the days, what Jim Brown would say, that's when football was football. Like, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't want to watch it.
You know what's funny, though? I don't know if you call it swag, but, like, for your dreads, and then there's one play. Do you want to try and guess? I have one specific memory play of you, and hey, if it makes you feel better, because it's not, you're just
was it when
off.
I split the Washington Redskins in Washington?
No, it actually wasn't. So this is because I just remember, I don't know why I was walking through a Buffalo Wild Wings, because normally I watch football at home, but it was also fantasy related because you were on my team, and there's one specific play. I'll even give you the year. It was in 2009. See if you remember it.
Ooh, 2009. Is that when I had all the yards and the, was it the Raiders game?
No, it was the Cardinals.
I don't know what it is.
It was your 77-yard run against the Cardinals. I just remember watching you streak down, and I like stopped them dead in my tracks, and I'm like, yeah, there he goes.
I didn't score on that one.
I know.
I scored the next play, though. I was tired.
I was waiting to see if you remembered, because that's why I was like, there. And then, what was it, the 1-yard line, right? And I was like, oh, my, and I, damn it, in the middle of the Buffalo Wild Wings. I was like, I want you to get in the end zone.
Yeah, I ended up getting in there the next play, and it was funny because I remember having the conversations, like, I got down to the one, and they was looking at me, like, trying to call me out, and I'm like, shit, no, I got all the way down here. You tired or not, I'm finna get in this end zone.
I did 99.9% of the work. I'm not coming out.
Yeah, you might as well let me go the distance, so I end up going the distance, and, you know, I really appreciate that. But again, there was nothing about those two. And, I kind of want to throw Fred Taylor in there. But Fred Taylor brought something to the game that I really love. Like, he was a little guy. He didn't have the hype that everybody else had. But when you played the Jaguars, you knew that that's who you had to stop. Like, Fred went through some transitional periods to where – he didn't run sexy, and then all of a sudden, you just, like, everybody in the stadium is screaming, Freddie, 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 Freddie. I know because I was there. He went for 200-plus on us. Freddie, Freddie. And it brought out the beast in him, and he went from not so sexy to, damn, how did he do that? Wow, spin moves, like, going crazy because – he was fueled by the fans, and I'm still to this day impressed. And he, in my opinion, should be a Hall of Famer, but he'll never make it because of the team that he was on.
I could not agree with you any more than that. Like, Fred Taylor, the fact that he's not in already is kind of ridiculous, to be honest.
Oh, it's crazy as
you
hell.
You say Freddie and sexy, though. You made me think of Freddie Mitchell in his post-game outfits.
Not fast Freddie Mitchell. But this is what's crazy. You know who has a better opportunity to make it in from the Jaguars than he do?
Leonard Fournette?
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew is probably going to get in.
And that's what's crazy. That is insane, right? Because of his special team capabilities. Like, Fred couldn't match that. But if you look at, like, numbers, Fred Taylor's the best running back to ever play for the Jaguars.
Fred Taylor is one of the best running backs to play during his time. But speaking of... this is the perfect time. Speaking of best running backs of all time in the Hall of Fame or stuff, like, they got a follow-up one to this that is straight you on this.
He is a pure runner. He is the last of not a dying. He is the last of a dead breed. Once Adrian Peterson is done and hang up the cleats and no longer has a job, they'll never, and this is me. This is me speaking, my opinion. There won't ever be another running back that just is a pure running back that does not catch the ball out of the backfield, because you can game plan against that. It's very tough to game plan against five wides every time. That's four receivers and one back out of the backfield that can actually run route. I first of all, I want to go on record and apologize to Derrick Henry.
I was just about to say, you still feel that way about Derrick?
I want to go on record and apologize to Derrick Henry, because Derrick Henry is now that Adrian Peterson of this new generation. Doesn't do much out of the backfield as it relates to catching the ball and running wide receiver routes, but he is that dying breed. And again, Derrick Henry, this is me, brother. I apologize. I've always been in your corner, though, because before the season even kicked off, I said you was the most important running back to your team versus all the other teams, and you proved that. Not sure if you were good enough to get Ryan Tannehill a new contract, but in the event, whether he get the contract or not, whoever gets the contract, they're going to pay him a lot of money to hand you the damn ball off. So congratulations, brother.
I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly who I was going to bring up was there. But to your point.
I stand corrected. They don't run like that anymore.
Exactly. And you stand corrected on one running back out of how many? And to have it at that success level?
Just a 32, yeah. And, you know, I guess you'll always have the one, I guess. But they're very rare. They don't seek running backs that can't catch the ball out of the backfield, because we need that element to our game. Because this day and age, we could save money on offensive line if we can get our quarterback to scramble and find a running back that knows how to run those routes.
Right. And you also got, like, what, 2 inches and about 30 pounds on Adrian Peterson when it comes to Derrick Henry. And so, like, and we're talking about the fact that, as you said, there's not a lot of teams that are even considering that to begin. A lot of the running backs who might be able
to do. Hold up, Jake. Let's just be fair here, though. Let's just be fair. I understand you're saying what you're saying as far as what he has on Adrian Peterson. There'll never be another Adrian Peterson, no matter how Derrick Henry runs through the league or over the league, or, you know, and I'm wishing him all the best. But Adrian Peterson, with the combination of his size and his speed and his vision and able to change direction at the size he did it at, it's unmatched.
That's what I was saying, is that Derrick Henry is doing it with that much more muscle and strength, where Adrian Peterson didn't need that and brought just a whole nother elusive level to it. Like, Derrick Henry is just, as you brought up when we talked about him a few weeks ago, in the fourth quarter, he's just running tired dudes over. Adrian Peterson, if need be, is still juking the hell out of people in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And see, that's what blew my mind. I remember vaguely hearing our interview of Adrian Peterson on why he fumbles so much. He was like, I'm just fighting for all the yards I can get. I sometimes forget I got the ball in my hand. Wait, what? Huh? Like, Adrian Peterson is the only player in the National Football League history that would stiff arm you with the ball in the same hand. Like, wait, what?
I remember that.
And you wonder why you're fumbling? Like, you don't know? Like, ball security. But his mindset, though, was so different from everybody else's. From the standpoint of, I'm going to make it so difficult for you to tackle me that you're not going to worry about the ball. Like, okay, we get that, Adrian Peterson. We understand that thought process. But what we don't understand is how you tell yourself that you forget you got the ball. That's what we're trying to understand. Like, how do you forget you got the ball? We understand you're going to make it hard for them to tackle
Barber's
you.
Excuse all those years.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you forget you got the ball? The main reason you running the way you running is because you have something in your hand. How do you forget that and you just got it 2 seconds ago?
That's actually really funny. I thought about that. on the not so funny, it's for the football side of things. Hey, your boy. Stepping away from the game, but I want to go back to a sound bit that you had on Kuechly before any of this even happened and kind of reminisce about him a little bit.
That's my to be honest this week, that Luke Kuechly, future Hall of Famer, in my opinion right now, he's already in the Hall because of his year in, year out dedication to the game and how he plays it and just his pure numbers. I do say this with the to be honest caveat, P.S., I don't think J.J. Watt is. I still 100% stand by that. I didn't know that Luke Kuechly would retire at such a young age, but I knew that it was coming. I just didn't know it was going to come this year. And I would be shocked if the reason why he made this decision was because the complications that he's had with all the concussions and the fact that they changed the coaching staff and changed him being comfortable. You could be comfortable and be hurt. What you can't do is be uncomfortable and not hurt, because then you ask for those days back and you can't get those back. He's just like, you know, to hell with it. I think he picked a great time to retire, because now he's in that conversation. So I ask you, is he a Hall of Famer?
100%. Not even a doubt in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think he is too, but at the same time, you can play long enough where you could play yourself out of the Hall too, in my opinion. You could play long enough where it's just like, look, you know, your first five seasons were amazing, but your last 10 was trash. So,
well, that's,
I mean,
some of the counter argument against Frank Gore and Eli Manning is both of those guys.
Yes. Yeah, you play just long enough for people to be uninterested. Like
Larry Fitzgerald, he's coming back again next year.
Right. And that's another that's another one right there. I've stuck around and I've listened to a lot of things about Larry Fitzgerald. 6 years ago, I'll say even 9 years ago, I was like, oh, he's first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, now he's just a guy on the team that's taking up a roster spot. From a standpoint of, did he give me a grand last year? I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. gave me a grand with one less muscle. Like, with one less core muscle. Like, can you get, I mean, I understand you can't help who you work with. I understand you having quarterback issues. I understand that you having coaching issues. Like, the same shit you going through, OBJ went through it too. He finna go through another coach.
Yeah.
On a whole nother team, and he still went 4,000 yards. So don't give me that. I understand you're old. If you're old and you can't do it at the level that you're supposed to do, do what everybody else do. Shut it down.
Stop playing. He's going to be 37 when the season kicks off. Just go.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, I say that, though, is because I was actually in a room hearing the exact opposite of it, because I think I told you this before, is we have Aaron Rouse down here, and then Michael Vick was here, and the Antoine Bethea. This is now 2 years ago. He was actually already, because he's like, yeah, I've only got a couple soft offers on the table. He's like, I don't know. And Vic turned to him and goes, look, keep going until you can't go, because once you stop, you're not going to get any more offers, and you're going to wish you kept playing for as long as you wanted to. And at the same time, I sit here and say this, and I'm like, look, I understand why players would think that, and you're the player. I understand why you guys would think that and want to keep going. But at the same time, I think sit here as well as like, what? I think maybe does it depend on the career, D'Angelo? Maybe it's like, you know, if Fitzgerald, what left do you have to prove? But if you're somebody like Antoine Bethea, it's like, hey, why not just keep playing type of thing?
Yeah, guys that say that to other guys, I think it's crazy. You don't play for as long as you could possibly play. You play until you hit the number of the amount of money that you want to hit to sustain your family. But then that's my point of view, right?
Right.
Like, just like their point of view is my
point of
view.
Well, that was Carson Palmer.
It doesn't
that's why he didn't care
right.
anymore.
It doesn't require you to go in and keep banging up your body and taking those shots. And,
and that's why Philip Rivers has
family.
To keep playing, because he's got 70,000 kids.
Yeah, but I don't think Philip Rivers is playing because he has that amount of kids and hit the number. I think Philip Rivers is playing is because he has something to prove to us, not himself, but to us. Like, you're this great quarterback that played all these years with the Chargers. You're a first ballot Hall of Famer, and your ass can't get past the AFC Championship game.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I see that.
So, all right, that's all he want to do. He want to make it to the Super Bowl. He ain't even got to win the Super Bowl. He just want to show you, I got the talent to get us where we need to be, because that's every time we talk about Philip Rivers, we say he has Hall of Fame talent. He's going to make the Hall of Fame because of his numbers, but there's a huge but. Like, you are Peyton Manning. You're Peyton Manning without the two Super Bowls. Like, he never showed up for the big games. And that was the knock on Peyton Manning until he ended up winning in Indianapolis and then going to, you know, the Denver Broncos and winning one there.
Yeah, well, if you're the Buccaneers, stick with Jameis. Don't go to Rivers. You already got a better version at this point. But speaking of better versions of quarterbacks, let's go back to episode one, because we got to talk about something I said at the beginning. Week one, am I allowed to take a victory lap on Lamar Jackson?
Ooh.
I'm down in Virginia Beach. I was considered running to Baltimore and just running around the city of Baltimore. That's my victory lap.
You know what? What has Lamar Jackson done for you? Let me just ask that question.
Yeah, he's definitely made me look like a genius in all of my leagues.
Oh, did you pick him up? Did you draft him?
Oh, I couldn't own enough Lamar Jackson. I feel so good about Lamar Jackson, Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller so far. Those are my three.
You have them all in your fantasy teams.
Yeah, okay. Lamar Jackson nearly everywhere.
You definitely can take a victory lap. But also know this, there's going to be times where he have a tough game.
Oh, I'm going
to
be there for
him. You also got to be humble enough to say, hey, you know, this humble pie is great.
Fortunately, D'Angelo, I only had to snack on it one time.
Yeah, but that was the big one time you had to snack on it, though.
They still beat the Steelers.
It cost you a Super Bowl run.
Why? Yes. Wait. That one, you're telling me the loss against the Steelers is what cost them the Super Bowl run?
No. I'm talking about the loss in the playoffs is what cost them the Super Bowl run.
Oh, against Tennessee?
It's not like
you can't help who you play with.
It was just a juggernaut. You're right. You can't help who you play with. He had a lot of drop balls.
He put up 500 yards on his own.
I understand that. Again, you can't help who you work with. I'm just letting you know I was wrong. I'm not even necessarily saying why I was wrong, because I never said that he wasn't talented. I just knew that they wasn't going to the Super Bowl because that type of offense doesn't normally – translate into winning Super Bowls.
I don't want to talk about the team. I just want you to know. I just want you to tell me this, D'Angelo. Okay. I put a little reserve sign in the passenger seat of my bandwagon. I'm not going to make you sit in the back. I left it there for the entire season. So when you're ready, you can get into the passenger seat with me for Lamar Jackson.
No, I won't do that. I'm a fan. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not a fan. I am a fan, and I want him to continue to do amazing things. I'm hoping that this is the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady fight that Lamar Jackson and Mahomes will give us year in and year out.
That would be terrific.
With that being said, though, wait until next year, because a new year is always a new year. And what I've learned about young quarterbacks is it's hard for them to forget that last season doesn't matter this season. I did that last season, but it doesn't necessarily translate over into me being that same player this season, because there's more film out about you. There's more people studying how they can stop you. So now you got to be creative. Do your coaching staff, do your offensive coordinator have the creativity to continue to produce and progress in your offensive play calling? We're going to find that out next year.
Definitely going to have a little bit of a change next year, too, so we'll have to see. But speaking of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, we have a little bit on our AFC North picks to go back and look at.
I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to win the division. Here's why I think they're going to win the division. I think the Baltimore Ravens right now have no room for improvement. And once teams figure out a way to stop them, that's when it's going to be an issue, because they can't get any better. The Browns is a team that has so much potential, and they haven't even came close to reaching it. I'm trying to figure out who the hell found these sound bites. Did you find these sound bites, Jake?
Hey,
I feel like you're attacking me right now.
Hey, I already took one on the chin for the Cowboys. Come on.
Yeah, I picked a bad day to have a bad day, all right? That's what it boiled down to.
To be honest, you know what? You weren't the only one. The Cleveland Browns were easily the most hyped team of this season. There wasn't a question about it.
True. They were. Because of the talent that was surrounding their offense, I knew that there was a potential that they couldn't make it, but I felt like their defense has never been a problem. It's always been their offense. And they finally got the offensive weapons. And then Kitchens was saying all the things that we want to hear. We're going to use all our weapons. We're going to distribute the ball the way it's supposed to be distributed. Everybody going to have their hand in the pile. Everybody going to have their hand in getting the ball, you know, blah, 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 blah. So listening to what Kitchens was saying and the talent that they had, they sold me. What I didn't know is that Kitchens used to be a used car salesman. And
you know what he's doing now, right?
Everybody. Oh yeah, he's an OC for somebody, right?
No. Take another step down. He's the tight ends coach for the Giants the next year.
Oh.
That's he didn't even get demoted one level. Actually, technically, tell me if I'm wrong, D'Angelo, that's not even two levels, because I think two levels would be quarterback slash wide receivers coach or something. Like, he got demoted to tight ends coach.
That's rough. Here's the rough part about that. And I want to draw this parallel for people out there to understand this. This is the equivalent of you being at your work and your supervisor that has been your supervisor all these years to now, hey, you're not the supervisor anymore. You're a worker bee, and the guy you were supervising is now your supervisor. It's going to be a lot of interesting conversations going behind closed doors, because it's hard to step out of that head coaching role where all your decisions matter and your decision is the final decision no matter what anybody else says in the room, to now you being voiceless pretty much. You can express your displeasures in something, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be heard, right?
Right.
Whereas you used to be that person where it doesn't matter what you say to me, I can either listen or not listen, but my voice is ultimately the loudest voice in the room, regardless of what octave I hit. To now, to where, hey, speak when spoken to.
Right.
I just think that's as a person, it's gonna be hard to transition that fast, this soon, from being the head coach to the damn tight end coach. So when your head coach walk in, that used to be a freaking special teams coach, walks in and says something and not ask you what your opinion is, I think that's when you're going to have your first hiccup, and it's going to be more so self-correcting each other than anything that first year in New York.
I agree. That's going to be very interesting. Speaking of interesting, two more until we get to the one that you really want to hear. But first one is the NFC South picks, which I'm kind of curious why this one is queued up, so let's find out.
Right now, in the next 6 weeks, because that's how long it's going to take Drew Brees to get back, I'm rolling with the Atlanta Falcons on winning that division. I don't think New Orleans will have enough when Drew Brees come back to upseat them, because they're playing really good football right now. I just wish that Cam get his stuff together over in Carolina. I also hope that Jameis Winston can, I don't even
do
know.
Do anything?
That's what I'm saying. He hadn't did anything since he's been in the NFL. I mean, I just hope he get over the crab leg incident that he had in college. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I hate it here. I didn't know. I hate this episode already. I really said that?
You said that. I'm looking back. You said that. This September 18th is when you said that. Hold on. To be fair, at the time, the Falcons were 1-1. That was before their 6 straight losses. So,
yeah, that's not being fair. I was an idiot. Why would I think that?
I wouldn't even have pulled that one. That's who that's on. I didn't pull that one.
Wow. Production gives no fucks about me and how I feel. Like, they could have left that one off. Like, wow.
They're thinking the same thing. They're really... like, hey, it's the last episode. You can't be too pissed off.
Yeah. Are you making the case why you shouldn't bring me back? Damn. No. So at the time, again, there was 1-1. I was real high on Matty Ice and Julio Jones because of what they did years prior. And then, they was bringing their running tack back with, what is his name? I can't even think of his name right now.
For who?
The running back for Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, Devonta Freeman.
Devonta Freeman. They was bringing him back. Like, they had all the pieces to the puzzle from, when they dropped in Super Bowl, and then they had the defense to get it done. And I thought maybe with, New Orleans, like, staggering and stunned, that they would take advantage of it, and they didn't. One guy took advantage of it, but it wasn't the entire, NFC. I mean, the South Division. So I honestly can't even go back into the mindset of what I was thinking when I said that, because, going forward now to where I am right now, that was dumb as shit. I don't know why I even said
that. Let's rebound for you, because I have a feeling this one's going to be a big rebound. So let's go back. This is the first episode. Again, the second week of September. So it's not like this is something you said in week 11.
And you said you didn't pick any of these. You didn't pick any of these because it sounded like you know what the hell's going on.
No, I got a clue to what this one's going to be. But I did not pick any of this, especially I didn't pick the one coming up after this. But let's hear this one because I have a feeling this one's good for you and probably bad for me.
Okay.
Honestly, try to not be a 49ers fan for a second. Just honestly, D'Angelo. If you see that Jimmy Garoppolo against the Buccaneers defense, of all defenses, threw for 166 yards, one touchdown, one pick. The running game got nothing going. Granted, Tevin Coleman got hurt. George Kittle led, which is not a surprise, but he led the team with 54 receiving yards. There's nothing in your mind that's panic mode about the 49ers, even though they got the win?
I'm relaxed, brother. First game of the season. We haven't really gelled with one another.
Such
yet.
A homer.
Yeah, 100%.
D'Angelo,
do you want to talk about that? I'm gonna let you talk first before I even say anything. I mean, is there something you want to say?
I'm gonna say this. I don't know. I'll say
six,
it. Look, go ahead. Six what?
6 for 8, 77 yards in the NFC Championship game. Jimmy Garoppolo
established the run. It's look.
Hey, that's nope. Don't steal my thunder, Jake. Don't steal my thunder, cause you gave me numbers in there. Six completions, 8 attempts, 77 yards. We won that by 17.
So here's
so
what I'll say.
My whole point is, I'm still just as comfortable right now as I was when you played that clip earlier. We know how to win, and we do what it takes to win with the defense that we have there. We have the ability to struggle, whether it's via run or via pass, and still overcome those insecurities. A lot of teams don't have that luxury, and that's why, again, I'm comfortable now.
So here's what I'll compare it to. I'll 100% admit from day one I had my doubts and wrong doubts about the 49ers. I did not think they were going 13-3. I did not think they were going to go to the Super Bowl, because if you notice the one thing I went to in that, and I still have done it to this day. I'm not going to say I've changed. I'm still doubting this very thing, and I've even said it to you before as a joke. Said Jimmy Garoppolo's had 4 great games this season, 2 against the Cardinals, 1 against the Bengals, and then the 1 against the Saints, which is the one I'll give him credit for. But I'll compare it to one thing you just said. We talked about it, kind of hinted on it earlier in the show. I think they're very reminiscent of the 2000-2001 Super Bowl champion Ravens with Trent Dilfer, who against the Giants threw for 153 yards and one touchdown, leaned on Jamal Lewis, leaned on that defense. The leading receiver had 52 yards in that game. I think it's a very, very strong comparison between these two teams, and that's why I'm saying I'm wrong, because I doubted Jimmy Garoppolo, but it doesn't need to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. Well, I'm going to say this, and I... The biggest thing that's going to come from the Super Bowl, and I know we're going to talk about the Super Bowl here in a minute.
I know we got a clip we got to get to apparently before that.
Yeah. We're going to get to that clip. I'll just say this when we get there. I just know for a fact that this 49ers team has what it takes. I see Seattle when they played the Broncos in the Super Bowl. It wasn't even close. Ooh. I think that this is the type of game that we're going to have come Sunday.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to have to talk about that in a second. But now,
yeah. We'll talk about it.
Talk about me not picking the clips. I don't. Here we go again with one about. Whatever. Just play it.
What you got? Let me hear. Yeah, so how was your date, though?
Oh, it was really good. It was actually. So, you know how I rank things.
She went home, you went home.
No, I don't do that. She went home, I went home. It was the first date. So, okay. This is so you know how I rank things and grade things all the time, and that's my job. So, as I put it on her, I said, all right, so now it's on you, since now that you know that I do that. And this is how you know it went well. She said it was a 9 out of 10, and the only reason I won't give it a 10 is so we have room to improve. So there you go.
So, what did you rank it?
I'd give it a 9 out of 10. I agree with her.
But that's pretty cool, man. Like, what was your type? Like, I mean, how did you set this up? Is this like a, did you go traditional and like meet her out? Or was this more like a, you slid in her DMs like, hey, big head? Like, how did you initiate this?
No, this is a.
I'm curious, Jake.
I officially bit the bullet and tried the app versions of things. Do you remember what I said about sliding in DMs at the time?
Yeah, you said that you don't. Slide in DMs at the time. You don't slide in DMs at the time. And then you rank that a 9 out of 10. So, first of all, let's get an update. That chick that you went on a date with, that you gave a 9 out of 10 and she gave a 9 out of 10, are y'all still in communication and have it went any farther than that date?
No, that was a straight up, I got ghosted.
So, the last day you got ghosted, so it wasn't a 9 out of 10 on her end. She just shot you some bullshit.
Exactly.
Which is terrible on her. But since then, you also said in that same vein that you do not slide in DMs, you are not that guy. And, you know, I'm pretty sure the people that are listening was like, oh, you're such a nice guy. So update us now. Have you slid in any DMs then, or are you still going the traditional way?
No, for the people that haven't listened to the last two episodes, yeah, I actually, for the first time ever, tried the slide into the DM route.
And how did it work for you? Like, was it a nice, warm, cozy, accepting place, or was it like, was it everything, like everything that you thought about? Because you're not a DM slider,
right?
You slid in these DMs. How did it feel? Tell us. We want to know. Like, what was the result of it? Was it a 9 out of 10? Did it potentially get you a date? Was it better than what you did with the one that lied to you at first? We want to know. We want answers, Jake, because you are slowly turning into what you don't want to turn in, and that's that guy.
No, that's a completely different that guy. We had that
You said that I was that guy when I was talking about sliding DMs. Now that you've slid in DMs, it was one time. It was this. It was a, don't try to minimize sliding in DMs.
No, this is a different that guy versus the we had that guy conversation when I was in Vegas. Those are two different guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. This is still TBD. Look, we're still working on this with your help, I believe, because at first.
Yes. I do want to let everybody know, though, before you finish, I had to text Jake. So, Jake, we're on text message conversation. I have him screenshot the messages. He sent them to me, and like I replied to him because I said I was going to help. Well, I'm going to tell you something about Jake ass. Jake has gone rogue a couple times and just sent shit that he just wants to send. And like he'll send me the message, and I'm like, Jake, what is this at the top? And he's like, oh, that was just something that I sent. You know, it was very harmful. Like, I need to know these things because I need my conversation to be fluid. Like, you can't tell me that you said this and then you sent her a picture of like a concert, and then I come back and say something, and now it's just all creepy. So Jake occasionally go rogue on me, and I have to follow it up a little bit here and a little bit of there, and I keep touching up. But, you know, I'm about two or three rogue texts sent to her from him without my permission away from absolutely cutting Jake off. But go ahead, Jake.
Well, so
how's it going?
So it's still TBD because for you, well, you know, but for everybody out there that doesn't know, first of all, you're referencing a tour of a band that she's a huge fan of. And I was just to tell you what I told her. Well, I tell everybody what I told you is just trying to
but
keep
it super creepy, though.
No,
it's super creepy. It's creepy as shit.
No, it's not. I was telling her there's
it is.
No, it's not.
100% is, Jake.
No, because I sent her a picture of a stadium tour of her band that she had told me that she loves. And was just saying, hey, I don't
that
know.
She referenced in a conversation that y'all had a few days before, in the beginning, right? In the beginning, and then you later just out of nowhere, like, ha 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 ha, your band is touring in my city or
in this city.
What did you say?
No, I sent a picture of it. I said, so I'm working, and check out the ad banner that just popped up, because it legitimately did while I was working. It was on CBS
creepy.
At the time.
Creepy. So, for people that know you, we know for a fact that it popped up on your banner, which is the truth. But people that don't know you,
like
oh,
I was searching for it.
Oh, sure. You searched my band to find out to see if you could meet up or start up a conversation.
Okay, I can see.
Like,
but
sounds desperate and creepy as shit.
No, but, well, I don't think she took it that way because she just said, I know, right? I so badly want to see them touring. So there you go.
Yeah, but also anyway. The chick that you went on a date with said it was a 9 out of 10 and she ghosted you. So you going to listen to her or you going to listen to me?
Well, I think it's depending. So in any case, the entire point behind it, as I told you, was just to keep the communication open because she was going out of town for work and I didn't want to just wait. So for people that don't know, you told me I just need to stop
playing around and just ask her out in person. Well, I wasn't going to do that before, right before she went out of town, because that's an immediate, I'm not available this weekend. And then you leave that whole, like, well, this weird awkward of, okay, well, when you get back, what time? So I was waiting to ask her in person until she got back into town. So instead of just waiting 6 days to not text her, period, is kind of why I kept that open. So in any case, I haven't sent a text until today. I did one because I wanted to.
What did you say, Jake?
No,
what did you say? You hadn't sent me that one.
No, I haven't, because I wanted to bring it up on the show for you. So there you go.
What did you say?
She was out of town until yesterday. All my text said was, how was the city you were in? I don't want to say what the city was for everybody out there, for those creepy people. How was blank and your weekend? That's all I sent. And she
Why do you keep going rogue on me, Jake? Why do you keep doing this?
Hold on. I got a text back while we're recording this show. So here you go. Live for everybody out there. Live for you to give me advice and respond to. And I guess anybody else that wants to try and give me advice. Just said, it was good. Not bad at all. I just got back from work late last night, so I'm exhausted today. There you go. That's your update. That's your full.
So what are you thinking about sending back?
At this point, stop messing around and just go for the in-person. Let's meet up.
You should have did that 6 days ago.
She was
so
out of
town. Would have known when she got back in town. Like, I don't think you, this is what I don't understand about you, Jake. You do realize whether she gone for 6 days, she's gone for 4 days, she's gone for 8 days. She took her fucking cell phone with her. It's not one of those house phones back in the days where she couldn't take it with her. Like, you didn't text her for 6 days because she was going out of town.
I told you I kept the communication open with the thing about
it makes no sense, Jake. That's where you text her, like, good morning, like, every other day, or, like, to strike up a conversation. Because as long as you create a conversation where you're on her mind, it keeps another guy from filling that void that you're leaving open.
So, but you're coming from the guy side of things. Like, girls have also just given me their free input, which, you know, hey, I appreciate, because that's the girl's perspective that you and I can't understand. Here's my problem. This is my problem with dating, period, and girls, period. Like, I understand guys think that, like, there's a books about it. There's a reason when men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Like, this is the whole thing. Is the girl's perspective on this that you haven't, the rogue thing that you haven't been getting, is that you have to keep playing. It's like fishing. You got to keep playing with this line of, like, you can't reel it in too fast because they lose interest and just pull away. And the line breaks, and then you got to give it out a little bit. You got to not communicate for a few days. You got to play these stupid games. I don't want to play games. I hate playing games. I just want to be blanket. Hey, let's go out. But you can't do that, because if you just say, hey, let's go out, the girl will be like, whoa, that's kind of aggressive. Like, chill out a little bit.
See, you're thinking from this. If you're going to think it from a fishing point of view, I'm gonna help you from a fishing point of view, since you
again, you're coming from the guy's side,
way.
Though. I want your wife's opinion.
Yeah, so, since you're using it from a fishing point of view, I'm going to use this. If you use the right bait, it don't care. It doesn't matter what you do to the line. The fish is going to bite.
See, but she's only got a picture of the bait. She doesn't know what the bait smells like, is like in person, what personality the bait has.
That's what I've been trying to get you to understand from the jump. When you told me you slid in her DMs, my first thing to you was, you got to meet her in person. Was it not?
I know.
You said, oh, I got to wait. I got to wait because she's going out of town.
Oh, that, yeah.
Did you not say that?
No.
You said, I got to wait because she's. You should have told her why she was out of town. Like, hey, when you get back, we need to meet up. I want to hang out. We need to go grab coffee or tea or whatever it is people do when they date now, because you obviously not that guy. So with that being said, like, you should initiate the fact that you want to meet, because now on her end, it can look like you just playing, wasting time. You may have somebody else, because you just, out of 6 days, you text me twice, and one of those days was the last day in which I came back.
See, but then on the flip side, the girls' advice are like, you're like, oh, they get intrigued because they're like, why hasn't he texted me? That's exactly what I've been told.
Are you talking to single girls? Because this makes a difference. They're single for a fucking reason.
Both.
So...
All right, well...
don't listen to the single chick. Somebody that don't have kids.
I want to know what your wife has to say.
Okay, I will ask her, which she probably is going to laugh at you, because you do realize that it's a digital age, right? Everybody communicates through social media, through the internet, some shape, form, or fashion. And for you to say, hey, I don't DM people, and has gotten more action through one DM than you did going on a date that got a 9 out of 10 and she ghosted you.
This is why I'm so good at fantasy football. My focus isn't skewed elsewhere.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. Like, just you sitting around not doing anything, whenever you think about her, just be like, hey, you know, just had a couple thoughts about you. And she may say, oh, what was you thinking? Like, I was thinking maybe we should link up and have coffee.
That's like creepy and too much, and you're pushing too hard. And see, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not, though. It's 2020, bro. It's the last episode. Fuck it, Jake.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Exactly. So anyway,
go ahead.
I want to hear about the Super Bowl, because you said that this is going to be a walkover. So I want to hear how and why.
Oh, 100%. This is why it's
I'm taking
be a
the
walkover.
Chiefs in a close here real quick, This is, I'm going to say, I think the Chiefs win this game, but I think the Chiefs win this game like when they played the Patriots earlier this year in like a 20-17, 20-13 type game. But you want to talk about confidence level, D'Angelo, and some of the things we've said throughout our entire show together. If you graded this one, if you want me to rank something on a 1-10 scale of confidence of that happening, I'm like a 1. I'm not putting money on this anywhere.
Okay, which makes sense. I'm going to tell you why. The same thing from Seattle and the Broncos when Peyton Manning came, I knew that they matched up really well because they was floating with the number one defense as it relate to passing, but they was really low as it related to running the football defensively. They was like not even mid-level. They was just average at the time, I think, I want to say. And the Denver Broncos never ran the ball. It was all Peyton Manning tossing it at the time. That's exactly what this is. It's a carbon copy of that. The Chiefs don't run the ball much, if any. They rely on Patrick Mahomes, and that's the strength of that defense, is their back seven and their front four rushing coverage working together. And if you're going to play to the 49ers' strength, you have no shot. Your only shot is to run the ball and hope that you can stop the 49ers' run and force Jimmy Garoppolo to make horrible decisions. Well, you don't do that because we know that the Chiefs' defense is not what the 49ers practice against. I'm going to say that again. We know that the Chiefs' defense is not what the 49ers practice against.
I know what you're saying.
So if that's what you're practicing against, then that's why if you look at the 49ers, you got to look at their genetic makeup. They're really good at running the ball because they practice against the number one defense against the pass. So you got to find ways to beat that. So what do? They show up. They run the ball down Green Bay's throat. And everybody was like, oh, I never saw this coming. Oh, really? You didn't. Well, I'm giving you a foreshadowing right now. The 49ers by halftime will have this game won and in the bag, and everybody can go to sleep and look at the commercials later.
That's actually, you know what's funny? That's what happened to me when my Giants played the Ravens in that Super Bowl. I actually went to another room, listened for the commercials, and came back into the room for the commercials.
Yeah, that's going to be the best part of this Super Bowl after halftime, because there's no lights going out. You ain't got to worry about that. They fixed that problem.
as soon as the Armstead touchdown was called back, I was like, screw it. This game's over. I don't care anymore. So here, real quick, this will be the last thing about the Super Bowl, because we're on different sides here. I actually think, in my scenario, I think the two biggest factors in this game are the tight ends. Like, I think Kittle and Kelsey are going to be the biggest impact on this game. The run game, obviously, but it's the 49ers. It could be Mostert. It could be Coleman. It could be Brady. It could be any of them. It could be, hell, right, Jeff Wilson. Yeah. So I want to ask you, unnamed guy?
I don't think Kelsey's going to be as big a – if I'm the 49ers, if I'm the 49ers, I'm going to go nickel, and I'm going to put a corner on your tight end, and I'm going to force you to be uncomfortable by running the ball. We know that that's not your comfort level. We know, and when I say we, I'm talking about the fans. We know that Patrick Mahomes is not okay with handing the ball off 40-plus times. He's not okay with that. That's not the Patrick Mahomes that made him the MVP. That's not the gunslinger Patrick Mahomes. He's not okay with doing that. So with that being said, I'm going to give you a defense that's going to force you to do that. You're going to get uncomfortable, and you're going to start making bad decisions. You're going to get rattled, and then that's when I got you. I'm going to go back into my base. I'm going to let you do what you want to do and throw in the ball, and you're going to cost yourself a lot.
Okay. All right. I'm going to be very interested. I have a feeling I'm going to get a text from you during the Super Bowl.
Oh, you 100% going to get a text from me. Yes, you are.
All right. So before we get out of here for our last To Be Honest, I have mine, and then I'm going to set yours up for you. They're both actually NBA related of all things, and not football related, not wrestling related. Mine, real quick for you, To Be Honest, D'Angelo, LeBron James, now third all-time in the scoring list. I told you this before the show. I'm going to tell everybody out there for it. If, so to be honest, and I know it sounds weird to start with an if, but you'll understand in a second. To be honest, if LeBron James wants to, he will finish as the all-time scoring leader in NBA history because he is only, but around 4,700 points behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, still has the rest of the season, still has the playoffs. If you even downtick his average on points per game to 22, which is well below his career average, well below what he's averaging this year, let's just call it 22 to say, hey, you know, maybe he declines a little bit. Maybe he misses a few games. He only needs, from today, around 215 games. And again, that's before the rest of this season and before the playoffs. So he about needs two and a half more seasons to do so. So if he wants to continue playing that long, he's only 35. He will be the all-time scoring leader in NBA history.
I doubt it, but I don't doubt it. And this is the only reason why I doubt it. With load management being a thing of the future now, I just don't think that there's no longer, all of them are not playing 82 games now. Back right. in the days, they used to play 82 games.
Right.
I don't know how many of the 82 games that LeBron James will be playing.
We'll say 70.
So with that being said, that three seasons can turn into five or six, but depending on load management at the age in which he's scoring. I don't know if his production is still teetering up while he's still playing as he's getting older. So it's definitely possible, but in 3 years with load management being an issue, I think you're going to have to tack on some years.
I'd say 3 years after this year. So if he wants to, that's my only question is if he wants to. It's all put it out there. Hey, LeBron, you listen to the show. It's your decision. If you want to be the all-time scoring leader in NBA history, it's your choice because it'll happen if you want it to. I want to set up yours real quick for everybody out there. And we'll call it a PSA. We haven't touched on, and we're not really going to touch on the Kobe situation for what it is because everybody's done an amazing job covering it, saying things that need to be said. It's an extremely sad situation. We want to talk just a little bit different angle about it. So in the day and age where everybody loves to get upset about everything, look, if it's going to upset you to talk about this and the fact that we're taking it as an independent of what happened. This is an independent conversation of what happened with Kobe Bryant and his daughter. If you can't do that, then just turn off the episode now. We love you guys for listening this entire season. Hopefully we're back next year for you. And you can listen to all the sports. I'll have D'Angelo on there during the offseason to recap my terrible dating life and goodbye. But if you want to continue listening, then D'Angelo, here is your final To Be Honest.
Yeah, this is my To Be Honest. I understand what generational talent is. I understand what legends are. I understand the game of basketball, not as a player, but as a fan. I understand. But to be honest, I don't think that the NBA should change logos or do anything as it relates to any past, present, or future players concern, and this is why. I feel this way because at the end of the day, our exit is going to be our exit. There's players that pass the torch, whether it starts with Wilt Chamberlain and go from Dr. J to Michael Jordan, from Michael Jordan to Kobe Bryant, and from Kobe Bryant to LeBron James. You know, as it relates to those players that I just named, and not trying to leave out Larry Bird or Magic Johnson, you know, whatever player you want to name, at the end of the day, these are all great athletes. And the NBA logo is the NBA logo. You know, retiring a player's jersey that played for you is all common around the National Football League, the NBA. But when you start talking about doing something special for a person because of a situation, then you're opening yourself up to having to do it for all the players that I just mentioned, plus more. And that's when you open a can of worms, because not everybody's going to like what I say or what the NBA say. And I mean, that's what it is. That's what it boils down to. There's no perfect time or right time to say something that people don't like or that they disagree with. I'm saying that leave the things the way that they are right now, because knee-jerk reactions are just that. They're knee-jerk reactions. But what you don't want to do is let that knee-jerk reaction lead you to another reaction that's going to have to force you to make other decisions because you made a decision under, you know, certain circumstances that otherwise you wouldn't have made that decision. So, again, they're all legendary players. Every one of those guys that I named are Hall of Famers. They're going to continue to be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, there'll still be arguments around the water cooler about who is a better shooter, LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. Who's a better player, you know, LeBron James or Michael Jordan, because they're generational talents. You know, Wilt Chamberlain, you know, some old head will come in and be like, man, nobody was better than Wilt Chamberlain with the sky hook, or Dr. J when he crossed that goal over and dunked on the other side of the goal. We can't argue that, because that's not our generation. My generation was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and now, like, I'm just on the edge of LeBron. Like, I like him, but then I don't. The thing I like about LeBron is his activism and the fact that he's willing to put his brand on the line for common people or all people, versus something they wouldn't do back in the days. So we all like players for certain things. But who are we to say, hey, you know, I don't want to listen to what you have to say because it's not something that I agree with. Let's all have an open mind and listen to what it is other people have to say. So to be honest, every one of those guys are legends. Every one of those guys deserve the Hall of Fame. But none of those guys deserve, in my opinion, to change the logo or the very game that we play because the influence that they have at this time. That's my to be honest.
And it's a good one. I agree with you. And I think the biggest thing that you said there too is, and we probably upset people along the way, but everybody's looking for a reason to be offended if you don't agree. And how about, hey, live in a world where you can understand people can have differing opinions than your own. What a world that we could live in where people are free to think how they like.
Yeah, absolutely. But we really thank you guys for joining us and supporting us during this first journey. You know, hopefully we'll see you guys again next season. But I want to say this to you, Jake. I really enjoyed having the conversations that we had and shooting this podcast. I've had a lot of fun, and I'm wishing you, and I'm going to call this right now, January 29th, a Wednesday morning. I'm going to say by Christmas, December 25th, you will have a girlfriend and your dating life will be perfect. With help from me or no thanks for my help, you will have someone come December 25th. I'm giving myself that long. So that gives me this season, the off season, and the rest of next season. So therefore, I can get you when the season's not going on to where, you know, she can get to know you and stuff like that. Because when the season starts, it's going to be tough to try to get to know somebody because you're working all the time because you're a workaholic.
I feel so bad that you made it such a long time frame.
Thank you guys for joining us. Bye-bye.